Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 32. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them. And he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own image, likeness, and after his image he named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 850 years and had other sons and daughters. And thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. After he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus were all the days of Methuselah 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring relief from our work and the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most of us hate running into the genealogies, especially when we're going through the Bible plan or something like that, where you're reading it in a certain amount of time, because the genealogies are just one of those things. First of all, you can't speed read a genealogy unless you just sort of skip over it and say, "Oh, wow, there were a lot of people there." After you read the Bible through a lot, you can kind of speed read some of the sections because you know with such intimacy what they say, but these always stop you. All these fathers and all these sons that you don't know, all these people that you don't know, and the listing of their names and their deeds, which long ago have been forgotten, and some of them that just don't seem to make a lot of sense to modern ears, like people living into the 900-year range, or the guy who lived the longest of anybody who ever lived on the face of the earth dying before his father. I always used to stick that into confirmation class, and I would make them search the Bible for how it was that the guy who lived longer than anybody else died before his father. And they would search around and search around, Sometimes they had an older brother or sister in the class who would just ruin it for me. It was sort of like with the sacristy in my last congregation. We had a piscina for the disposal of the reliquiae and for the filling of the baptismal font and so on. And I said, this faucet that we use to wash out the sacred vessels and that we use to fill the baptismal font, that water comes from a pipe that goes through the center of the earth into the Jordan River in Israel. And I would do that same joke year after year after year. 18 years in, I was still doing that joke. And all the kids who had the year before, because we had combined classes, would sit there and snicker. There's something really funny going on. You guys don't know what it is. Or I'd tell them about the dragon's lair, where we keep the dragon, and they could even hear the dragon every time the organist turned on the organ. They could hear the dragon didn't like the sound of the music because it kept going inside the chamber. Some of the kids really believed it, but the other kids who had been there for a while just sort of snickered. And that's the point of genealogies. This isn't the first time through. This isn't the first time we've done this as a family. This isn't the first opportunity to learn. This isn't the first path through this dark wilderness. In fact, God looks at the family of man, because after all, it says that he called male and female man. God looks at the family of man not just as some long line of humanity, but as his children, his people, of which he called himself father. He sees such intimate connections between us that 1,800 years after the death of Canaan, he still refers to the people in the Bible as Canaan. At least 1,000 years after the death of Esau, he still calls the Edomites Esau and blames them for betraying their brother Israel. It's not just a casual group of people. Throughout time and eternity, this has been the people of God. And if we miss that, then we miss one of the biggest things that sets us apart, not only as a church, but from the way that the world would describe and isolate us. We're feeling terribly isolated in our world today. In fact, it seems that from all the studies that are being done, the millennial and younger generations now say that they're feeling more isolated, more alone than any generation that lives upon the earth today. And any time the surveys have ever done, they feel more alone than people wrote about in frontier days, even though they've got every means of connecting to each other. And it's because they've been displaced from family. They've been displaced from their source. They've been displaced from who they are. They no longer know who they are. So we go back to the genealogies and we find something real. If you're telling a story of myths, you don't tell who everybody's dad was. If you're telling a story of myths, you don't tell the good and the bad about your heroes. The Bible tells the story of God's people throughout the ages. Yet, not strange and weird people. These folks that I read about in the scripture sound like my next door neighbors, or my friends and my family. You read the holy books of other religions, and they're filled with strange myths. Giants eating the big portions of the world and sucking down the ocean and then belching them out and flooding the earth. You hear about titans ruling the world until gods are created, and they fight them back into submission. But at the end of the world, the titans are going to come back, and they're going to defeat the gods on Mount Olympus and destroy everything. Or you can name your poison. It's always the same, these unbelievable feats, these unbelievable things. But children being born into the world, their fathers loving them and then dying, that's our experience, isn't it? That's who we are. Which means the rest of the stories are who we are as well. Not just some distant people who don't count for anything. This is the story of who we are. Whether it's Moses or Noah or Methuselah or Japheth or Paul, this is who we are. The world gets a little bit of a sense of this. Like, if you watch the Olympics, I've got to admit, I'm having a real problem even caring about the Olympics right now. But if you watch the Olympics, you'll see that they no longer tell stories about skating. They tell stories about this family and the things that they've overcome and the things that they've done together. And you should be proud of them, that they represent you because they've overcome this. How much more when you read the Scripture? We were locked in sin and sorrow, but the greatest hero of any age has come and has been part of our family. We're connected to him not simply because we come from the same nation or they train in the same land. Here he is, bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. We have the same Father. Why is it that people don't embrace this? Don't run to the genealogies for a sense of who they are. In part, it's because we've been taught that we're not anybody who's a part of this. That our lives don't really matter unless we buy into a cause. But you didn't buy into a cause. You were born into it. You were born again into it by water and the Spirit. You were given life because you were given a father. You were given a home. You were given a family. So when God, who could have picked any name, chooses the name Father, that ought to tell you something. When the Savior of the world, who could have picked any name, picked the word Son, or word Son, that should have told you something. And when he describes eternal life and says, in my Father's house are many rooms, I go to prepare a place for you. When he describes his bride, or his church as his bride, and describes us as children, unless you would enter the kingdom of heaven like little children, you will never enter it. You ought to know something. The genealogies aren't just filler. They're who you are. They're where you come from. They're the story of a family which has overcome everything together. And what is the Bible? It's the exposition of that story. It's the telling out of the tales of that genealogy. It's the story of a family that the entire world counts on for eternal life and your role within that. So, we turn. We turn the generations, we turn the ages. And we listen to the songs and the hymns and the tales of the family. We sing them out with great joy, including the hymn that our cantor picked out for us today, which He no doubt decided he was going to sing because this is the one that came to mind as he was driving on icy roads from St. Louis to Illinois. Who knows when death will overtake me? But we have many other family songs too. They're on the lips not only of this generation, but of all the generations. Written in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Written in the hearts and minds and lives and line of his people. Who are one family because they've been brought into it by the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.